get frustrated and upset, you know what I mean? And I repent and I say, okay, Lord, you're God and I'm not. What I would like to do, and the board talked about it, is Fran and Sally Pine are moving down to North Carolina. And I would like to ask both of you, if you could, to come up front. Thank you. Man, you left me hanging there. I'm thinking to myself, I know I told them we were going to do this. That was good. That was pretty good. So what I would like to do is to ask the board and spouses, Wendy, if you could come on, pastors, to come and join us. We'd like to pray over you. We would first of all like to bless you both with just a token of our appreciation. Fran served on the board for at least 136 years. Very young for his age. Did a fabulous job. Sally has been involved in so many different things. Ladies Prayer Fellowship. Recently working the hospitality desk, serving coffee and all these wonderful things. And so we as a congregation are blessed and better because of their decades here in ministry and in service. And so we will certainly miss you. We know that the Lord has got this in his hands. And we look forward to hearing good news. And if you're ever back in the area, please stop by. And obviously, love to have you. If we could all stand together, I'd like to pray over them as we send them off here today. Father, we thank you for both Fran and Sally. They have been a blessing to us as a congregation. They've been a blessing to, I know, my family and I personally, and I'm sure many people can say the same thing. Father, we pray that you would bless them now with your grace. We pray that you would bless them with safe travel. We pray that you would lead them to a congregation where they could fellowship just like they did here for so many years. They can continue to grow in Christ, continue to serve you as you would lead them, bless their family, and all of those things. Draw them close to yourself. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sure. Let me get a mic. You can sit. Pastor Josh, we got a mic. Fran would like to say a couple of things.
Is it on?
It's on.
I always want to make sure it's on. This week, this thought just kept coming up to me over and over. And this is what it is. There may be people here who have lost loved ones. And I want to encourage you to keep praying for them. Keep praying no matter what, because God hears and God will work it out in God's time. That was me 44 years ago. My wife's been a member of this church for 75 years. That's a long time. And yes, she's only 75, so it's not like she's 80 or 85. Somehow, we got married. We were what you might say, unequally yoked. I grew up Catholic. My wife was Pentecostal Assembly of God. I came into this church, and I thought, what is going on? People were raising their hands, singing, clapping, cheering, and I was like, whoa, I don't know if this is for me. But it worked out. It worked out through prayers of a caring woman and a little boy who prayed diligently that their father would come to church. And there were a couple other people, Janet Rapace's parents, Colette and Jeannie's father, Ted Eric. I think they were praying too. And one day I came in and I never left. Pastor Renis Lossitz, Pastor Waters, Pastor Jason, all have helped me. And you know, the mission statement is a really beautiful mission statement. Knowing Christ and loving people is what it's about. And I really couldn't think of a better definition for what this church is. They loved people 44 years ago because they welcomed me in, said encouraging things, blessed me, and kept me here, despite the fact that I thought, whoa, this is whatever. We're just so grateful for all the friends that we have here, all the things, the memories we have of many, many things. And that's really all I should say. I should just keep quiet and sit down and not get in any trouble from my wife. But God bless all of you. I hope everything continues to grow here, and I think you have a great pastor. You have a wonderful pastor and Pastor Josh, Pastor Caleb, a board that does a good job. And we just pray that God's hand will continue to be upon you and direct you in the ways that you should go. Thank you. God bless you. And not goodbye. I'm not saying goodbye.
Appreciate you. Thank you very much, sir.
As they are finishing up the pleasantries, we're going to have a sign-up sheet in the lobby here. And it's telling me if anyone would like to bring food for the luncheon on Friday for Barry's funeral. So just to give you a heads up after the service, if you're able to do that, that would be wonderful. I would also like to say it's pretty interesting how Sally's been in the church for 75 years. She's 75, and yet Fran's been on the board for 136 years. That's a pretty amazing phenomenon, but God is bigger than what we understand sometimes. Oh, there are some of you in here this morning who may remember these lyrics to an old song from the 1960s. Nowhere to run to, baby, nowhere to hide. Yeah, how many of you remember those lyrics? Some of you are ready to burst into song right now on a Sunday morning, which would be pretty cool, I must say. And even though these lyrics are dealing with love and relationships, they bring up, in my opinion, a really good question. And that question is this: who or where or what do you run to when times get tough? Maybe somebody's gossiping about you, saying all sorts of nasty and untrue things behind your back. Maybe you're dealing with very real and very heavy family issues. Maybe you've been sharing your faith more so recently and you're running into actual persecution. Listen, tough times, trials, tribulations, troubles, whatever word you want to use to describe them, come in many different ways and in many different forms. So once again, who, where, or what do you run to when times like these come? Well, I want to encourage you here this morning to run to Jesus. And there's a situation in the Bible that deals with this very thing. We've talked over the last couple of weeks how Jesus participated in many different types of miracles while he was alive and ministering on earth. A couple of Sundays ago, we saw that he healed a man who was sick for 38 years. Last week, we see that he fed anywhere from 10 to 15,000 total people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. One of his more famous miracles. Well, today, we're going to look at another one of his very famous miracles. It's the night that Jesus walked on the water. If you've got your Bibles, please turn to John 6, verses 16 through 21. John 6, 16 through 21. Let's go ahead and put it up on the overhead as we normally do. We can read along together. I am reading this morning from the NIV New International Version of the Bible. So here it is. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us. We're very thankful that as we hear even this morning, like yourself, it is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is unchanging. So Lord, teach us. Teach us what you have in store for us. Give us eyes that see and ears that hear, Holy Spirit, all that you would reveal to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. This event for lack of better terms, takes place right after Jesus fed all of those people, 5,000 men plus women and children, with a few loaves of bread and a couple of small fish. And I believe that this story here is an incredible symbol of life. Let's go ahead then and break it down. And again, see what the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us. The whole thing starts off with the disciples getting in a boat. Take a look at verses 16 and 17 again. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. So Jesus feeds all of these people. His disciples get on a boat, and they begin to sail across this lake. We know from other parts of the Bible that this lake was the Sea of Galilee. It is a rather large body of water. This is not the pond down the street from you that you go fishing in, okay? And so his disciples get on the boat, but Jesus stays behind for whatever reason. And as they are sailing across the Sea of Galilee, they are going to land in the city of Capernaum. They get in the boat and they begin to cross. The boat represents or symbolizes life. And it makes sense because for the next few hours, their lives were lived on that boat. And everything that was going to happen to them, good, bad, or ugly, was going to happen to them in that boat. When they got on the boat, it could have turned out to be a great ride. Stars shining bright, Milky Way. There was a moon out. The waters are reflecting the moon. There's a nice warm breeze offshore. Or things could go wrong. A storm could blow in. The wind begin to blow, the waves begin to batter the boat. I tell you what, on a lake that size, when a storm like that blew in, the waves could get so big, there was a danger in the boat capsizing. And interestingly enough, and we may come back to this here in a few minutes, many of those disciples in the boat would have known this because they were experienced fishermen who fished that lake. Keep that in the back of your mind. Like I said, I think we'll come back to that because that's a very important part, I think, of this story. Either way, while they're on the boat, life could go well or it could go not so well. Who knows? The disciples certainly didn't when they entered into the boat. And by the way, neither do we, do we? For all of our planning, for all of our preparation, things don't always go the way we expect. Anybody in here ever experienced that? Yeah, if you have not experienced that yet, it's probably because you're maybe somehow not alive or you're just simply lying, right? For all of our prep, all of our planning, things don't always go the way we expect them to go. If you would have talked to me, for instance, 10 years ago, I would have been pastoring a church in a rural community outside of Altoona, and you would have said to me, hey, Jason, you're going to be pastoring an inner city church in the city of Allentown. Now, I would say, okay, nothing is impossible with God, but that's not on my radar at all. It's not a part of my plans. I didn't even know the name of this church 10 years ago, and yet here I am, right? If you would have said to me when I was 16, dude, you're going to have 5 kids, I'd be like, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. And yet here I am with 5 kids. Life doesn't always turn out the way we plan or the way we expect. But that's life, isn't it? Yeah. And I don't expect it's going to change anytime soon. You just never know what you're going to get. So the boat here represents life. So the question is, what happened while they were on the boat? Well, we just read it, didn't we? That night, they had a very rough ride. Let's take a look at verse 18 again, John chapter 6. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. A couple of words I want to focus on here. The first word is strong. Here in America, I suppose we would view this word in different ways depending upon the context in which it's used. So, for instance, if you are in construction, you want to build a strong foundation, right? If you're a bodybuilder, you want to build strong, strong muscles, much like myself, okay? So we use the word strong in different ways. For a Jew living in that day and age, the word strong literally meant great. And we see the word rough, which also translates as to arouse completely. So when you look at this verse, the wind that blew in that night was a great wind. It was so strong, it was so powerful that the waves were aroused, the waves were stirred up, and they begin to batter the boat. Now, it doesn't seem like storms like this were all that uncommon. They didn't happen all the time, but they certainly weren't uncommon. Do you remember the other story when the disciples were in the boat on the Sea of Galilee? Jesus was with them this time, and he was sleeping on the boat. So this huge storm blows in, the boat's being battered, they're in danger of losing their lives, and this must have been such a storm because experienced fishermen are losing it. They go over to Jesus. They say, Jesus, now he's sleeping, remember. Jesus, don't you care if we all die? Now, what kind of question is that? Like what, Jesus all of a sudden started hating them? Is Jesus going to wake up and say, you know, I really don't like you in the first place. Get out of my face. No. Either way, that's the question they bring to Jesus. He gets up. He rebukes the storm. The storm stops. If you ever wonder how powerful Jesus really is, just read that story. I mean, literally the storm stopped because he got up and said, stop. Some of you are hoping that you could go outside your house after lunch today and say to that snow, stop. I'm walking out because it's been a long time and you know me. I may drop my snow dance. And then you're all in trouble. Because if the snow dance works, we might get 3 feet. Either way, Jesus gets up. He says, stop. Wind stops, waves stop. It's all over. It's like there was never a storm in the first place. That's power. And it makes sense because Jesus holds the universe together by the word of his power. He created everything in the first place. If he says stop, it's going to stop. Okay? So either way, I say that because these storms were not too terribly uncommon, and that's what's going on here in John chapter 6. Another one of these storms has blown up. The wind and the waves are pounding this vessel on the Sea of Galilee. So you get this picture. When they first got on the boat, everything seemed fine. And then the storm came. Isn't that also just like our lives? Things are going well. You're on a mountaintop experience, or at least you're just sort of experiencing normal life. And then all hell breaks loose. Ever been there? Yeah, and you wonder, what just happened to my mountaintop? We all want to live on the mountaintop. But you can't live on the mountaintop, not all the time on this earth. There are many, many valleys. There are many storms that come our way as individuals, as families. You know, I know Barry has been struggling probably since I got here. I'm thinking of Barry Fisher. We were able to do Red Robin. We had a great time. Red Robin burgers are killer. And we might have done that certainly once, maybe twice. I'd go over, visit the house. He had such a heart for people. And, you know, we're praying, God, bring that healing, bring that healing. Now he's gone. Now, I will say that this was not totally unexpected. I mean, he's been suffering for so long. But at the end of the day, I don't believe Sharon and Vanessa woke up Saturday morning realizing that was it. They were told by one of the neurologists, this is what Sharon told me on Thursday, that they expected 6 to 8 weeks. Sharon thought it would be sooner than that, maybe 2 weeks. She wasn't thinking 2 days or a day and a half, right? So you wake up one morning and your spouse, who you love dearly, is gone. This is life. On big levels like that and on smaller levels, we get in the boat, things look great, then the storm blows in. Which leads us back to our original question, I think. When things get tough, when they go wrong, when you're getting battered by the wind and the waves, who, where, or what do you run to? You know, when that person you trusted with all of your heart hurts you or leaves you, when you fail miserably, when that old temptation you thought had you had totally defeated comes back with a vengeance and bites off your head, when the enemy, the devil, is working on you over time, who do you run to? Well, the disciples ran to Jesus. Take a look again at verses 19 through 21. John chapter 6. In verses 19 through 21, the disciples in the boat see a figure walking out towards them on the water. Now, Matthew records this same story, and we'll touch on that here in a few minutes a little bit more directly. But they didn't know who it was at first. They're sitting there, and they're thinking, oh my, is it a ghost? What is it, a demon? Is it an angel? What is this thing? They were scared to death. And can you blame them? The boat is like going down possibly. And now they see this apparition who is walking across the water to them. They finally realize that it is Jesus himself. So here it is, when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. Duh. So see, they were frightened. I told you. They finally realize it's Jesus. Jesus comes to them, and they invite him into the boat with them. Okay, it's a pretty incredible picture, a pretty incredible miracle. Now, I understand that Jesus came to them, but they still had to respond to Jesus, didn't they? What if they looked at Jesus and they're like, no, just no way you can be you. Get out of here. We're not letting you in the boat, right? So, yes, Jesus came to them, but they had to, in essence, run to him. They had to open their arms to him. They had to accept him and what he was going to do in that moment in their lives. But here it is, and I don't have this on the overhead. In Matthew chapter 14, this is where Matthew the apostle, who would have been on that boat with John, who recorded it as well, he records something else happened. You remember what it was? Peter jumped out of the boat. Okay, so here's these waves. Here's this wind. Is the boat going under? Peter says, if it's you, Jesus, tell me and I'll walk to you. So Jesus says, it's me. Peter jumps out of the boat and he begins to do what? Make his way to Jesus. Now we know the story. He then gets distracted. He gets scared. He sees the wind. He sees the waves. He begins to sink. Jesus picks him up out of the boat, and we make a massive mistake here, by the way. It's a big mistake. And I don't know if it's one of these churchy things or we think that we know something. I don't know, but it's a big mistake if we make it. So I hope you're not making it. Many times we look at Peter, and I know Jesus sort of said the same thing, but where's your faith? Okay, well, how many of us would actually have jumped out of the boat? It's a great question, isn't it? To his credit, Peter ran to Jesus. Now, in the midst of it, he gets his eyes off Jesus. Instead of walking by faith, he walks by sight. He begins to sink. But please, let's not forget, Peter ran to Jesus. The boat symbolizes life. Many times in life, storms rise up, and they at least feel like they're going to kill us. We need to run to Jesus. There's no way around it. Matter of fact, Jesus, later on in the book of John, said as much in John 16:33. He says, in this world, you will have trouble or trial or tribulation, depending upon your translation. Jesus said that. To who? To his disciples. You probably know as well as I do that there's this strand of teaching that exists in this nation. Many times on television, that if you're a disciple, man, you should have no problems whatsoever. And I don't know, man. I read the Bible, and I see something differently, right? We are going to encourage trouble. Jesus himself said the same exact thing. In this world, you will have trouble. There's no way around it. But as we get ready to close here, I want you to notice something very important. How did Jesus get out to the boat itself? Did he get in a rowboat? No, he walked on the water. So here he was in the midst of this storm. The waves couldn't drown him. The wind couldn't knock him over. He owned that storm. He owned that lake. He says in another spot, stop, and it all goes away. Do you see the point here tonight? Jesus is bigger than your storm. Jesus is more powerful than your problems or your issues. He is stronger than your temptations. He is bigger than your sin. He can overcome your pain, your hurt. This is Jesus. Don't ever forget, he's also a whole lot bigger than the devil, isn't he? Yes, he is. Run to him. Run to him. I quoted for you John 16, verse 33, just a moment ago. If you know that verse, you know I did not quote the entire verse. I only quoted the first part. John 16, 33, in its entirety says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Who's overcome the world? You? No. The Pope? No. The pastor? No. The board? No. Jesus? Yes. I have overcome the world. So, don't be afraid. The wind is great, the waves are high, but I am here, says Jesus, and I am stronger and bigger and more powerful than anything or anyone you can face. Come to me, run to me. I'm waiting to meet with you, and I will bring you through safely. That's one of the messages of the story of Jesus walking on the water. I'm sure there are other messages too. We even weaved a couple of them in there. And it's at this point that I want to bring from the back of your mind to the front of your mind that thought that I shared with you just a moment ago. Not all of the disciples in that boat, but a decent amount of those disciples in that boat were expert, experienced fishermen. They fished that sea all the time. Okay? And yet here they are, crying out in fear. You maybe have walked with Jesus for 30, 40 years, but you're not so experienced and you're not so mature that the storm can't find you. You still need Jesus just as much today as you did when you first got saved. Maybe even more so as you grow with him. Can we stand together? thinking about how I want to do this here. Is there anyone in here almost this afternoon, this morning, and you would say, for whatever reason, I may not even know the reason, that you find yourself in the middle of a storm? Would you raise your hand where you are right now? Okay, I see a hand in the back, all the way in the back, nice and high. Now keep your hands high, because I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to have us pray for one another. So keep your hand nice and high. See some hands in the back up against the wall as well, here in the middle. If you don't have a hand raised, please go find somebody right now and just begin to pray over them. You're in the midst of this storm. Do we have some music that we could put on in the background, nice, quiet, simple stuff, if we could? So if someone has their hand raised, please just begin to pray.